Chapter 7, Execution. So, you found the property, you analyzed the deal. You chose what strategy is best for you or your end buyer. You structured the deal. You financed the property, maybe even the rehab portion. You renovated and managed the project with the use of draw schedules. You executed your strategy to sell it, refinance it, rent it, or leverage it. Now, you just have to repeat the process. In this business, it's so easy to fall victim to paralysis by analysis. I see this every single day with people we meet at our events. We live in a world where knowledge is everything. We also live in a time where we know the price of everything, but the value of nothing. The issue with that is people spend weeks, months, even years researching everything, watching podcasts and gathering all this information, yet they never apply the knowledge. I can promise you this, if you don't apply this knowledge in a systematic manner, you will never get results. Application of knowledge is what gets you results. Let me prove this to you right now. Most of us took a foreign language in high school, didn't we? Spanish, French, Latin, whatever language you took. We spent years in classrooms learning this language. Then we went off to college or into the workforce and we stopped applying what we were taught. And we never practiced. Fast forward to today. If we took a language other than English, do we still speak that language today? Your answer is probably not very well. My answer is no hablo español. The execution is what matters. I summarized everything I have been telling you in a systematic manner so that you can begin to apply this information in order to get results. That's all that matters are the results you get. If you don't know this by now, the results are money, folks. So let's just recover these. Step one, you have to get over your fears and you have to get into the proper mindset. You have to learn that you don't know what you don't know. Hopefully, you have learned that money is not a barrier and that it exists everywhere. If you know where to look and how to use the different resources, then you will have learned that. This was found in chapters 1 and 2. If you need to go back and review that, please do. Step 2, you need to find a deal. It's great that you now know where all the money is and how to tap into those different resources. However, if you don't have a deal under contract or under your control, you have nothing to discuss. This is the most important thing in this business. I'll repeat it again. The money in this business is made on the buy, not the sell. You need to learn and master this, and you need to become a master at finding lucrative off-market deals. This is not difficult, but it requires you to be extremely persistent and consistent. This sounds easy, doesn't it? But 80% of you will never master this skill set. I don't mean to be honest, but that's the fact. The reason for this will be the lack of effort and nothing else. Start working the funnels. Start researching all the ways to find deals that I discussed in the 10 tips to finding lucrative off-market deals. Once you have a deal, it's time to move to the next step. Can't find a deal yourself? That's totally okay. Don't be afraid to pay an assignment fee to a wholesaler who did find the deal, but make sure their numbers are accurate. You now know the secrets of how to run the deal and analyze the deal. Run the numbers. Do your own due diligence. Step number 3. Now you've identified the deal. You're ready to run the numbers. This is a critical part of the process because you don't want to make any mistakes and you definitely don't want to miss something. The analysis is what we will do that will allow you to make sound decisions and not overpay for the property. The other thing this analysis will do is to help you determine a strategy for the property. Is it a fix and flip? Are you going to wholesale it? Or maybe the numbers are perfect for a rental. Analysis will solidify every one of those different ideas that you have about the property, and the end result will tell you whether or not you have a good deal or whether you don't even have a deal. Whatever the end result is, just remember this. Never force a deal when the numbers don't make sense. It's a formula that does not lie, and the only one that can screw it up is you. Step number 4. Now that you've run the numbers, you've identified a few possible strategies that will work, it's time to structure this deal in order to present it properly. The structuring process is multifaceted. It can be used when presenting a deal to another investor to wholesale or assign, or it can be used when presenting the deal to the bank or a private lender or even a hard money lender. It can even be layered with the perfect loan proposal materials to make a powerful marketing kit that will impress even the most experienced investors. This step is all about putting your deal on paper in a systematic fashion so that all the positive aspects of your deal are right there in front of the reviewer. The specifics you should include are this: information about the deal, the comparable sales that support your ARV, the numbers showing the potential profit and the passive income and the return on the investment, detailed photos that accurately show the deal, and do not forget to label your photos. I like to structure my deal so that the investors all across the world could review my deal and make a buying decision within 30 minutes to an hour. Oh, and by the way, that statement is a true story. I assigned a deal to an investor in Dubai. Across the world is an understatement, and that person never even saw the property. The deal was structured so well that they were able to make a buying decision in 45 minutes because I gave them all the information that he needed to make a decision, and I eliminated all of his potential questions with factual data. This step, covered in details in Chapter 5, don't miss that. Step 5, we are almost at the point where we can start presenting our deal to find money that we need for that deal. The next step is called the perfect loan proposal. This is where we take all the analysis and we build a complete loan proposal with everything the bank or the lender would need to make a decision. Do not even give them the opportunity to say no. Being unorganized or unprofessional will raise a big red flag. Therefore, all you need to do is follow the steps that we gave you in Chapter 6, and you will eliminate almost every question a lender could have about you, your business, and your deal. Make sure this proposal is organized and professional looking before you even move to the next step. Step 6. Do you remember all of those resources I mentioned in Chapter 2? These are the people and the institutions you want to start sending your proposal to. All of the information in the documentation is ready, so now it's time to start setting up meetings and phone conferences to generate interest. You're going to find this so much easier than you first thought. In preparation for this step, it is helpful to begin building a lender's list of potential private investors, hard money lenders, banks, friends and family that could potentially fund your deal. The decision for the lender to fund your deal is primarily based on the information that you provide and how good your deal is. If meeting with the bank is first on your list, then try them. But if you first want to seek a private money investor, then present your deal and fill their need. Solve their problem, because that is the ticket. If you can solve people's problems, you will solve your own problem. Private investors want to make a return on their money because loaning money is what they do. Private investors are also in search of new deals to make money on. Your deal should be easy for you, and it should be easy for you to present to them because you hold the answers to their questions in your proposal that you just created. One last thing to remember is this: no is temporary. Every no is one step closer to a yes. I remember early on in my career, I needed to find $190,000 in 30 days or less for a deal. At this time, I did not have a network of lenders. I did not know what a perfect loan proposal was, and I definitely didn't have all the information that you now have. I was brand new to this, and I presented my deal over and over, and investors kept saying no and no and no, but I didn't quit. I kept presenting the deal until I got a yes. That was back in 2014, and that one private investor has now funded over 20 deals for us. Another interesting thing happened. A lot of the private investors that had previously said no to my deals came around, and on my next deal, they said yes. No one wants to be the first one. No one wants to be the first lender for a new real estate investor. You have to build credibility, and that requires you to take action and to get going. Sitting around, overanalyzing, overthinking will never build credibility. Step 7. In order to properly execute your deal with the lenders, you're going to need to understand what it is needed to secure that deal. You have all the knowledge you need to get to this point. But now I want to teach you what documents you're going to need and what documents you're going to want to have prepared for your real estate attorney. This is part of the process, but it requires professional legal representation. Once you have found a lender for your deal and they have done their own underwriting, you're going to need to sign documents and follow certain steps to not only protect yourself, but most importantly, to protect your investors. The documents you will need may vary from state to state and lender to lender. The most common documents are as follows. In no order, typical loan documents will include this. First, there's going to be a note, or what we would call a promissory note. This spells out the terms of the loan. How much is the interest rate? What is the term of time you're going to borrow the money for? How much are the monthly payments? Is there any prepayment penalties? On and on. The next thing is going to be a deed of trust or a mortgage. The mortgage or deed of trust is nothing more than a document that pledges the property as security for the loan. It is what secures that lender. The purchase contract and escrow instructions are the next thing. These are going to confirm your deal and the associated deadlines you and your lender have to meet in order to close on that deal in time. Next, there's going to be a preliminary title report. You and your lender should review any current liens against the property. If there's liens, you can't close. You got to get rid of the liens. And then, I said this earlier, but I'm going to say it again. You're probably going to have to personally guarantee the note, which means you personally and everything you own is going to be there to protect the lender. Don't get nervous about this. It's part of the game. Next are going to be documents displaying that you have the assets necessary to complete this deal. If you're coming out of pocket for part of the deal, if you're putting skin in the game, they're going to want to see that you have that money set aside ready to close. This is going to protect your lender from a claim. Then this is also not a predatory loan. That's important. Next is going to be the use of loans proceeds statement. This is where you declare that the use of the money and the purpose of the loan will be a fix and flip, a rental, whatever your goals are, whatever your strategy is, that's what's spelled out here. And then next comes lender instructions. This is to direct the escrow in the title for your lender's specific instructions. This includes loan position, various insurance requirements, dealing with certain loans, etc., etc. And then there's lender's title insurance. You may not always need this, but we always get it. This is a policy with the proper endorsements, and it just protects everybody in case something was missed on the title. Don't miss this next one. You need to make sure you have fire and liability insurance. You need to make sure that there's an insurance policy in force, not a homeowner's policy. This is very important to protect your lender against losses. You should also include the lender's name or company as a loss payee on the policy. And last but not least is the appraisal. This is where they're going to require to prove that the property is worth what they're lending. So you're going to need an appraisal. I could go on and on here. However, I recommend you seek legal counsel to help you prepare and guide you through this process. This is all that stuff that you're not going to have to do alone. I always teach and highly recommend that any lending should be done through a properly set up corporation or legal entity such as an LLC, which stands for Limited Liability Company. I also want to point out that you should never, ever direct the funds to your entity until the property is properly closed and all the notes and mortgages or deeds of trust are properly recorded and filed. Don't take possession of the money until all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. Once everything is recorded, the remaining funds can be directed to your account to begin the renovations. Now, this is a personal preference. I believe in proper escrowing of the funds, and I think that it's vital. Your attorney knows the order for your real estate closing better than anyone else. First, the lender agrees to loan you the funds for the property. Next, the proper documents are created and signed, and the lender sends the funds to the escrow account named in the note. Next, the attorney or title company closes the property. And finally, the note, mortgage, or deed of trust is recorded, filed, and the remaining funds are directed to your entity. If I could show you this in a flow chart, it would look like this. Funds enter escrow. The hazard and fire insurance policy is acquired on the property. The closing documents are filed. The mortgage or deed is recorded at the courthouse. The lender receives the documentation. I also suggest this, and again, this is just another one of my little things that I always try to provide the best knowledge on. I suggest you create a segregated bank account to keep your investors' money and their funds separate from all other business expenses. Once you begin the rehab, it's important to understand that most lenders will require the rehab funds to be distributed as draws. That means you will have to do the work first, and then the lender or the escrow holder will distribute the draws when the work has been completed and inspected. Now, pay attention to that. There are some tricks here. This may mean that you will need to advance some of the money to buy materials, pay deposits to contractors, and other required expenses. In the beginning, I used funds from my whole life insurance policies. I used credit cards. I used my income from my job to make this happen. I always told myself, whatever it takes. That's exactly what I did to make my dreams a reality. I did whatever it took and whatever was necessary. You may have to do the exact same thing. And I can tell you this, it will be worth it in the long run. The time has now come to execute the strategy. This may mean getting the house staged, cleaned, ready to sell. Maybe it means it's time to list the property for rent so that you can begin the process of refinancing it with the bank so that the lender can be paid back and you can begin collecting passive income from that rent roll. Or maybe it's time to leverage that property and refinance it. Maybe even apply for a home equity line of credit, one of those HELOCs, to pull the equity out and to repeat the process. Eventually, you can simply become the bank, which in my opinion is the ultimate goal in this business. Now get going. Time's a-wastin'. Get going and repeat the process over and over again.